From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. You'd be pretty naive not to see the momentum behind the movement to move the state prison out of Draper. Lawmakers have started the process, the governor has signed off, and sure, people who live in the four areas chosen as potential sites for the new prison don't like the idea, but right now it does seem like a done deal. Still, Salt Lake Tribune reporter Matt Canham says there are a few pressure points the opposition can use to change the course of things. It's a long shot, he says, but opponents aren't just using emotion to fight the process. They have real, practical concerns, and that's not to mention the political dimensions that have yet to play out. So today in the program, we're talking about the opposition to moving the prison, and we're hoping to hear from you after this news.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bombard, one of the producers of Radio West. Our online audio and podcasts are made possible by KUER and its listeners. If you like Radio West, help us make it happen. You can donate $10 right now by texting KUER to 85944. That's KUER to 85944. And thanks.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Next week, the commission assigned to pick a location for a new prison is holding a public meeting. They've held public meetings before, but those were limited in their scope. The questions were pre-selected by the state. This time, residents will be given a chance to ask questions directly, questions not already vetted. In his article in the Salt Lake Tribune, reporter Matt Canham pointed out that commission co-chair State Senator Jerry Stevenson said he wasn't impressed by the crowds at those previous meetings. He said they were unruly and angry. He told Canham he was hoping for more respectful dialogue next week, but he also said he didn't think there were going to be a lot of new ideas presented. Today in the program, we're going through some of the ideas, the points of opposition to relocating the state prison. On this program, we've already heard from supporters of the idea of relocating the prison out of Draper to one of four sites, two in Utah County, one in Salt Lake County, one in Tooele County. We invite you to join the conversation today. You may have particular points or observations of the process so far, and you can join us at 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Matt Canham is joining us first on the program, an investigative reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been covering the Utah prison relocation issue for the newspaper, and Matt Canham, welcome back.
Thank you.
Angel, last week, talking about something completely different. So we'll shift gears. I wanted to start here. I think a lot of people are thinking, wow, this prison relocation thing is really moving fast, and it's just been going on really for less than a year or so. But you've pointed out that this goes back a ways. It goes back at least to the Huntsman administration.
Right. When John Huntsman was running for governor, he came up with the idea that I want to move the prison. And it came out of the blue. He was in the lead. There was no reason to come up with such a broad initiative. And yet he did it. And they studied it. And at the time, they decided it wasn't financially feasible. Right. He put it on the shelf. But it's been hanging out there for a while. When that prison was built out in Draper, I believe it was the 1950s, that was farmland. And now it's surrounded by boondocks, kids center, and IKEA, and all kinds of businesses. And they look at that land as something that's more valuable if it was for another purpose. So about 3 years ago, a state senator, a former state senator who works in real estate, tried to get the governor's office to just move it quickly.
Yeah.
Doing real estate transactions is one of the things the government can do secretly, because if all real estate transactions were done publicly, it can lead to escalation of cost of land and all kinds of bidding problems. So he wanted them to just kind of secretly move the prison and then announce it quickly, and then he would be the one that develops the land. And Draper didn't want to do that because they would have no control.
Right.
It launched this three-year process to decide, is it financially feasible to move the prison, and then where would it go? We are now in the where would it go stage. The legislature and the governor decided, yes, we would like to move this prison. We think it financially makes sense in the long run, which is a key phrase.
Right.
Because in the short run, this is going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they hope that in the long run, it makes financial sense for the state. But now comes the hard part. Where are you going to move it?
Right.
And they actually believed that when they started this process that a community would say,
we'll take it.
We'll take it. This sounds good.
Yeah.
And they were sorely mistaken.
One of the things that State Senator Stevenson told you was that, and as I mentioned in the introduction, he didn't think there were going to be a whole lot of new ideas there. Is he right? Have they heard it all? That seems to be an important question, because in your coverage, some of the opponents have said, "No, we still have stuff we want to bring up. There's still legitimate things."
It's interesting to watch this play out, this public process, because if you ask the state legislators involved, they say they've been flooded with emails. They've done lots of one-on-one meetings. They've heard the complaints from the citizens groups. But in none of the public meetings has a member of the public been able to ask a question directly, which happens constantly in our government. If you go up to the state legislature, members of the public often get a talk on every bill they have. This has been a long process where the public has largely been shut out of direct formal engagement with the commission. They had three public meetings. Those meetings were actually billed as the commission explaining to the community what they want.
Right.
This is the opportunity next Tuesday at the state capitol. I think it begins at 6.
Yeah. Is an opportunity. This is on Tuesday.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Yes.
For the public to tell the commission what they want. And this is the only opportunity that is now scheduled for this.
Was there always a plan to do it?
There was always a plan to do it. The interesting part has been that, you know, when I've covered legislators, they tend to respect the public process. But I think some of these guys are getting a little tired. And they, you know, they're looking at this as checking a box in many ways. They believe they've heard what opposition groups have to say. They put it into consideration, and that's not how they want to make a decision. Right now they're arguing they're going to make a decision on the technical merits of each side.
Yeah.
They have said if every community doesn't want the prison, then the fact that they don't want the prison isn't something to consider. You know, originally they wanted –
because no one wants a prison.
Right.
Yeah.
So originally the idea was community acceptance was going to be a big role. Well, they said, well, you know, if no one wants it, then there's no real variance there. So toss that out. We're going to talk about the technical. Can we build on this property? How much would it cost?
Right.
How hard would it be to bring a sewer system all the way out here?
Yeah.
Or electricity? You know, what are the roads going to look
like? How much water do we need?
Exactly. And those are the decisions they want to make. But the problem is this isn't, you know, this isn't outside of the realm of politics. It's deeply in the realm of politics. This is a decision of the legislature. And you can't ask someone in Tooele County or Utah County or Salt Lake County to put away the, what they're hearing from the public and just vote on how many miles of electricity cable you need to run.
Did they take an account of the sort of local political dimensions?
I think they missed the backlash that came quickly from every mayor, every city council that was affected on the short list, which has been narrowed down to 4. There was no mayor, no city councilman who raised their hand and said, I think this might be a good idea. Let's put a prison in our community. It was strong and it was vigorous opposition right from the start.
You know, it's interesting. State Senator Stevenson said to you, and I'm guessing others said it too, they weren't crazy about the theatrics in those public meetings. Lots of signs, lots of yelling, disruptive behavior, people being disrespectful. They're worried about decorum now and what we can talk about with what the rules might be now. But it seems like for a lot of lawmakers or members of the commission, they're perceiving the opposition not in technical terms but in emotional ones. Is that true?
It is true. And you know, I don't know if that's 100% fair to the people who are in opposition. And also – part of the reason they had the emotional outburst of these meetings is that those people didn't get a chance to speak. Yeah. So how do you express your viewpoint? They wrote down their question on a card. It went to a moderator. The moderator flipped through the cards, picked the question, asked it. So how do you express to that commission how you feel about their answer if it isn't verbally, if it isn't with – you know, they wanted to let them know that they disagreed. That's how they did it. The commission didn't like that. And you know – they obviously expect to see some of that.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, I think when – you know, Facebook has been a galvanizing force for every opposition group. It's a place to express viewpoints, to share information, to organize. And in that, they've had large followings. Some of them are people – you know, you get a broad swath of humanity at that point. You have people who are very reasonable and, you know, moderate in the way they speak, and you get people who are shrill. And they all are emailing their legislators. So the legislators kind of can lump all those people together.
Help us get at least an initial sense, because we'll work through this a little bit later in the program, but at least an initial sense of these – the details that don't seem to have been addressed, at least lately, because certainly that's one of the people you talked to, and I'm guessing others expressed the same kind of thing, that the meeting didn't really address, as someone put it in your article, difficult questions or detailed questions anyway.
Right. I mean, they did in some ways. Hard part is the opposition groups which I find this is kind of interesting. They're not saying, don't put it in my county, put it in Tooele County. Don't put it in Tooele County, put it in Utah County. They're all saying, leave it to where it is in Draper.
Right.
And they want the legislature to respond to detailed questions about that. And the legislators are saying, we already made the decision, it's moving.
So they're not really addressing
it. We don't want to address those questions. Huh. And so that, I think, is a huge part of the frustration, is that rub of the legislators saying, we made the decision to move it. It's now about where, not about let's relitigate that decision. But there are individual issues with each site,
yeah,
that the commission needs to work on. Now, there's the general ones of, can you build on the land? How much would it cost to buy the land? But then there's specific ones. The one in Salt Lake County is near the airport, near wetlands. Is it environmentally feasible to build there? Also, the liquefaction issue, that's soft dirt. You put a prison, it can sink right into the ground, yeah, if you don't have bedrock.
Not much
on
bedrock there, right?
How much bedrock is there? They aren't 100% sure yet. That's something they have to do before they can even make that determination. You go out to Eagle Mountain and Fairfield, which are the Utah County sites.
Right.
They have some isolated roads that sometimes get completely snowed over.
Now, we should just explain. These are they're not rural necessarily, but they're fairly remote in the scheme of things.
I mean, that's the definition of rural, I guess, is what it comes down
right
to, right? They're near communities,
yeah.
But they're barren pieces of
sure
land near
yeah
communities.
Right.
They have one access point in and out right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the one in the Eagle Mountains is pretty much a dirt trail that goes to it. So they have to build a road. But if that road becomes unpassable and there's an emergency at the
they have to build a $100 million road.
Right. Well, that's debatable.
Okay.
Members of the commission argue that that hasn't been an honest accounting.
I see.
Honestly, I don't know how much road building costs. And so the state experts have to decide, you know, what they think is the right number when they put their bid together. But if that road becomes unpassable, there's an emergency at the prison, what do they do?
Yeah.
They're not sure. They don't even know how often it happens yet. And then in Tooele County, it's one of the driest areas in the country. They're not sure they can get enough water. And that's something that's a hurdle they have to jump before they're even going to recommend those sites. So beyond the emotional issues that people don't want something in their community that they worry will impact their property values or give their community blight their community's reputation.
Yeah.
There are technical problems that still need to be worked out as well.
Coming back to that water question in Tooele County and Grantsville for a moment, that was the thing that killed the Miller site,
right?
Was it not?
Yeah. So the Larry H. Miller family owned land next to the motorsports park that's out there, and they put that up for the prison relocation process. The community was outraged about this. They thought that was land to be good for hotels and maybe some homes and maybe, you know, a movie theater.
Right.
The problem came is that the commission is trying to make a decision by August 1st. The legislature wants to break ground within a year. You have to buy the water rights. The Millers don't own the water rights. They have to find a willing buyer, negotiate a rate, and close the deal. They couldn't do it in the time allowed. So essentially, I was told that they pulled the Miller representative aside and said, just so you know, we have five sites we're looking at. You're number five. And the Millers put themselves off the list, which is why there's only four now.
I want to ask about you were mentioning what Draper looked like in the 1950s.
Right.
It was agriculture, mostly agricultural place. And it was out in the boonies,
yeah,
in relative terms. But so is Fairfield.
Right.
So is this parcel in Grantsville. So is this parcel in Eagle Mountain, at least in relative terms. And isn't that the argument that they're making, that we're Draper
right
now? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
What it was then, now.
The development is a huge part of their argument. And it's one where you're talking about a decision that will be impacted for decades,
yeah,
of how development patterns actually work out. The commission will say, if you look at Eagle Mountain, which is a fast-growing city on the west side of Utah Lake, as I'm going to guess, about 25,000 residents. It's moving very fast. It's the prison site's on the very south end of the city. In between them is a wastewater treatment plant.
Right.
So the commission argues, well, no one's building homes around the wastewater treatment plant. That's the buffer between residential development and an industrial area. But look in Salt Lake County where the wastewater treatment plants are. There's a golf course next to it. You know, like, you don't know what that pattern's going to be. And so some of the community are saying, look, you can say that now, but things change. Zoning decisions get changed constantly by city councils. So are you sure this isn't going to end up just being like Draper, where it's valuable land in a nice part of a valley that is right now not as developed as Salt Lake County, but could be, and that you've created the problem again? The hard part is that's an unsolvable question at this point.
Yeah. What's the real economic incentive for the state to move this prison?
So there's two real issues here. One is the land in Draper is right off of Interstate 15. It's that business corridor, that hub, that major transportation route. Honestly, it makes sense that if you were going to look at where you're going to put a prison, you wouldn't put it right on the biggest interstate in the state. So that's an issue. They want to use it for a high-tech business park and lure a company in. The second is the prisons. Parts of the prison are old. Now, I think for people who haven't been to the prison, and I hope that's the majority of your listeners, this isn't one building. It's not a big monolithic building with 4,000 people.
It's a compound.
It's a compound.
Yeah.
And different buildings are built at different times. So some of the buildings are way out of date. Some of them look like Alcatraz if you've ever been there. They're iron bars with a big lever that opens it. They were built a long time ago, and they're not conducive to modern correctional facilities. You can't do treatment. There's no rooms to bring in people and have therapy.
Or not terribly conducive. At least this is the argument to justice reform.
Exactly.
That's a big one.
And so you have to rebuild these buildings eventually anyway. So if you're going to have to spend the money, you might as well spend the money on a nice, new, modern prison, and the cheaper place to do it would be on other land is what the state's arguing.
Right. The counter-argument to that, which we'll come back to as well, is you hear the argument being made from the commission and other supporters of this idea that this will be an economic boon to these communities.
Right.
But what these communities are saying who are opposed to it is if it's such an economic boon, keep it where it is.
Right. I mean, then this is – you know, these kind of arguments can get a little cyclical.
Yeah.
You know, because the commission will say, well, look, it didn't hurt Draper. Property values are fine at Draper. IKEA moved in right next to it there.
Right.
And then the opposition groups would be like, well, great for Draper. Then they can keep the prison. You know, it is a little bit cyclical. But what the commission's arguing is some of these areas are now undeveloped.
Right.
If you build a sewer out there, you bring power out there, they're not going to bring just enough electricity just for the prison. So you can have other development around it, and this might spur that. It's all theories.
Let me ask you one more thing. We're going to have you a little back later on the program, but let me ask you something before we take a break. And we'll get to a little bit more of the political dimensions here a little bit later, but it did occur to me, if this is a process that's playing out in the state legislature, which is dominated by Republicans,
right.
Do Democrats have enough muscle to oppose the site in Salt Lake City, in Salt Lake County?
The answer is no.
Yeah.
All the Democrats could get together and say no, and that would mean nothing. If the Republicans make up their mind, the Republicans decide where the prison goes. So if you were looking at it just from a partisan standpoint, if you didn't want partisan opposition within the Republican caucus, you could just put it in Salt Lake City, which is represented by Democrats.
Matt Canham, investigative reporter with the Salt Lake Tribune. He'll be back a little bit later in the program. You can join us 801-585-WEST, our email address radiowest@kuer.org. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're exploring the reasons why a community wouldn't want a prison nearby. As you know, Utah officials are proposing to move the state prison from Draper, and all of that seems like a done deal, but maybe not so much. We'll talk about that later. Residents of the four potential sites for the new prison have been obviously outspoken in their opposition, and for many, this is more than just an emotional argument. They say they have legitimate practical reasons to oppose this move, and we're hearing from some of those today in the program. You can join us, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. James Rogers is with us. He's a vice chair of the Salt Lake City Council. He represents District 1, which includes the property in the Prison Relocation Commission. They've identified that. And James Rogers, welcome to you.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it being here.
Jewel Allen is with us, co-founder of the community group No Prison in Tooele County, which gives you a sense of where she is. And Jewel, welcome to you.
Thank you.
I should mention Jewel Allen is also a candidate for Grantsville City Council. She's also a journalist and a writer as well. Erica Groneman is also with us. She represents the community group No Prison in Eagle Mountain or Fairfield, which also tells you where she's from. And welcome to you. Thanks for being with us. Okay, so I wanted to start with what you're hearing from some members on the commission about the meetings so far, that you guys brought signs and you were screaming and you were being rude and they were what did you make of that? Because it seems like this idea of you being emotional is something that you hear from that other side from time to time.
You know, I think that wasn't everybody in the audience. There were certainly some hecklers in our audience, but I think for the most part, people came to learn. There is a lot of frustration that we're not getting the information that we need. It was a really hard format because you can't do follow-up questions. It seemed like some of the questions were not even answered directly. And so there's definitely a lot of frustration, and I think the audience reacted to that.
What do you think?
Doug, when they did the open house in Salt Lake City, I didn't feel like there were hecklers. I didn't feel like there were people trying to cause problems. I felt the residents of Salt Lake City came and wanted to learn and understand more about why the prison is looking to move. I felt more it was an education process for them to come out and actually understand what the prison relocation was trying to do.
Did it bother you, though, that they seemed to be vetted or that you didn't, as you say, get follow-up? You didn't really get to directly address the question of Draper, for example.
Right. You know, it's interesting because no matter what question is asked, they can turn it and play it and spin it whichever way that they want. I mean, for example, we had a perfect example of why the prison should even be moved. And specifically in Salt Lake City, the question was asked, why when 4 out of the 5 state halfway houses of the state are in Salt Lake City, why are we looking at putting another one of these types of facilities in Salt Lake City? And it was spun this way that we love Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is where we've allocated $120 million to Salt Lake City for a convention hotel. We spend $7 million in Salt Lake City in buildings, all of which are tax exempt from Salt Lake City. So for me personally, the questions absolutely were vetted and the hard questions were spun.
What do you think, Eric?
I think absolutely. I think that watching the facial expressions of the people on the panel, I didn't feel they were taking it very seriously. And as someone who is sitting in the audience who is just screaming to be heard, and we're not talking not in my backyard. We're not talking about escaping prisoners. This has never been about escaping prisoners. These are real, legitimate, fact-based arguments, and they're just tossing them aside, that it doesn't matter. It seems like anything that we say is spun into being, well, you don't want it in your backyard. Well, my response to that is the most not in my backyard group is the Draper group who doesn't want it in their backyard. So if it's okay for them to say it, then it's okay for us to say it. And we have solid facts to back it up.
Seems like that's your major obstacle, at least initially, is that the decision has already been made to move it outside of Draper. Can you really even adjudicate that? Can you really even argue that point? Because that seems like your biggest problem, at least right now. Put aside all the infrastructure issues and the growth issues and all those other kinds of things, if they're not going to consider keeping it, it's a non-starter.
The facility hasn't even been analyzed, the property there. You look at it, it's a 680-acre facility, and they didn't even do a study to see if it could be rebuilt there. They just came out saying, we want our silicone slopes, we want our technological freeway, and we need this site for that.
I think the frustrating thing about their claim that the decision has been made is when they made the decision, and I believe this is earlier in 2014, the sites weren't even identified. And so I think for them to say that there was a lot of support towards this is false, because certainly that makes a huge difference where you put the prison.
I mean, to follow up with Jewel, she said that they did vote on it. I mean, so there was support in the legislature. These are elected officials that are representing different cities in the state of Utah.
It's true. I mean, there was a process.
There was a process. They did vote on that, which is, to me, disturbing when they vote on it without even analyzing the current facility.
I just have a question that has not been answered, and it's, what are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to accomplish by moving the prison, by rebuilding the prison? And at first, the answer was...
Wait, what do you think the answer is?
Well,
go back.
It's
sorry,
changed.
Sorry, I'm going to let you finish.
The
sorry.
Answer has changed over time.
Okay.
And it's because nothing is sticking. So the first answer was, well, we need to move the prison because of the economic development. This land is too valuable in Draper. Well, my question to that is, if it's so valuable in Draper, why is the economic opportunity in Draper more important than the economic opportunity specifically for me in Eagle Mountain or Fairfield or any of the other sites? What makes Draper so special? And the second, so that's the first thing is...
What's your answer to that?
Well, what's my answer?
Yeah.
My answer is it's completely baloney to be choosing winners and losers in the state.
But that's the Speaker of the House is from Draper.
Well, isn't that convenient?
Really?
That's really convenient.
I'm just saying, I mean, are you saying that there's some political motivations here as well?
Yes. Well, look at what the state has done when we're just talking about economic development. They have been completely speculative in how much we're going to grow. And that is not the role of government. The government should not be speculative. And we should be risk averse. We should not be risk takers, especially when you're talking about $1 billion of taxpayer dollars. We should be trying to stay away from that. And instead, they're trying to push it on the taxpayers. They're trying to push it on these communities. And they haven't done these studies, like what was just mentioned. They haven't done these studies of Draper. And when they say, well, we only have these 700 acres, I happen to drive past there, and there is a lot more land than 700 acres where these silicon slopes can be built. And so I don't buy the argument that it only can go, these buildings can only be built on this little tiny prison land.
Did I let you finish your point about what they were trying to accomplish? Because you say it's shifted.
Yes, it has shifted. The second now, what they're saying is it's all about prison reform. And no one is, because it's against the law for them to talk about the future use of the Draper land, which they do anyway, but it's against the law and it's been pointed out, so now they don't really talk about that anymore. So now they talk about the prison reform. It's all about prison reform. Well, no one is disagreeing that we need prison reform. Not one person I've talked to thinks that that is a bad idea. So then we say, okay, if it's about prison reform, then what is the best place for the prison, for the prisoners themselves? And I would argue it's right where it is, because that's where the volunteers are, that's where the services are, that's where they're getting all of the support system they need.
I want to get back to that, because I want to work through some of these particulars. What do you mean, what's against the law? I don't know what that means.
So House Bill 454 prohibits discussing future uses of the Draper site, and 70 pages of the MGT report is actually dedicated to that. And on page 170, it actually says...
Wait, it's against the law for them to talk about...
the future use of the Draper land.
Because this, we've decided this, it's getting out of Draper, so we can't legally even talk about it? Is that right?
But they do it anyway.
I believe that it's because they don't want to appear like they're speculating on that amount or the economic of that, economics of that.
The first study that was done is basing it on 680 acres. Over 9 to 11 years it would take to develop. There would be 210 acres of retail space, 90 acres of office and hotel development, 120 acres of light industrial space, and 220 acres of housing and a 40-acre rail hub.
And that was developed with the Draper City officials.
Mm-hmm.
The consulting group worked with the Draper City officials to come up with that. And it actually says in the official report that they recommend continued collaboration with the city officials of Draper. So that speculation is going on.
You say that it's not about a not in my backyard argument. Can I push back on that for you? Because what is it about? I mean, if you're not worried about the property values in your communities, and you say you're not worried about escaping prisoners, then big deal. What's the big deal? What's this about really for you guys?
Well, for me, personally, there's two issues. It's the social impact, when I talked about the halfway houses, four out of the five, and then adding to that with a prison in Salt Lake City.
But they're not escaping. You're not worried about that.
They're not escaping.
Is that right?
But what you're looking at is you're saying, okay, it's okay to put a prison on the west side of Salt Lake City because we already have four out of the five state halfway houses. It's just like, hey, once you're 18, we're just going to move you on to someplace else, which isn't right for me personally. But the main point that I've tried to stress is economic development. I mean, in Salt Lake City, the only place you can go is west. And now there's a couple of pieces of land left for this. We're in a second industrial revolution with industrial office space. And it's just going to move northwest to that area. It's 5 miles west of one of the greatest economic development areas that we've got in the Salt Lake City International Airport. We've got the International Center. For me, that's a huge deal, and people don't seem to understand. To rebuild the prison off the site, it's $500 million. That's state money. So when you take that money, the state will never get that money back. They put it in a different county, and the county can have some actual growth and make that money. But the state itself will lose that $500 million.
But they're going to sell the land.
$93 million. That's what they value the land at, is $93 million.
And so it won't come close to it.
It won't come close to it at all. And, you know, you look at the current site where they're at, there are a lot of pros to it. Geothermal heat and air conditioning. They pay zero for heating and air conditioning. When they move, that's going to be an added cost to who? Who's going to pay that? The state.
Joe Allen, how do you respond to that question?
Yeah.
What does it come down to for you? What are you really worried about? What's the issue for you? Really?
So for us in Grantsville and Tooele County, you had mentioned it earlier with Matt Canham. It comes down to three major areas: water, infrastructure, and economic development.
Before you get to that, though,
mm-hmm.
deal with that question of what's wrong with having a – so is there a question of you having a blighted community because you have a prison on your – I mean, do you – is that in the equation? I know you have other technical issues, but is that part of the thing that really worries you and the people in the community, and that's the reason they're so angry?
You know, I don't think so. I think that is obviously a natural reaction by people that are facing the decision whether or not to have a prison come into their community. One of the things that selling points that the PRC has used in this whole debate has been how it's been great for Gunnison. And so we did our homework and we studied the impact in Gunnison. We can kind of relate to Gunnison. You know, we're a small city.
Yeah.
We've got a tight-knit community, just similar to Gunnison. And so all those resources are going to be taxed by a prison. And so we just weigh the costs and the benefits to our community. We just don't feel...
But Gunnison's a lot smaller than the facility.
Correct.
So
and
that's
the facility,
an apples to apples oranges thing,
well,
right?
That too. But one thing that is interesting is they're saying how, oh, it's been great for Gunnison, but the facility that they're proposing to move is so much bigger than what Gunnison has had to cope with.
Yeah.
So, and they have had... you know, challenges with water and sewer and different things like that that we are definitely concerned about.
Well, do you want to know what our concerns are?
Well,
NIMBY?
Yeah.
Back to the NIMBY.
I wanted to push back on it.
So my response to the NIMBY is that's not fair. It's not fair to have our actual real research. We've spent hundreds of hours researching this, and we have real studies. We have real facts to back us up, and then to just throw that all into, oh, well, you're just emotional. It's not fair. And it's so much more than that. We're talking about the future of a community that is one of the fastest growing cities in Utah. And we want to be in control of our destiny, not the state saying, okay, now you're going to be a prison town. You say, does that matter, the stigma? Yes, absolutely it matters. It matters to us because we won't be able to absorb the prison like Draper has absorbed the prison. We are not Draper. We will never be Draper. We're not next to I-15. We're not in between two huge valleys. And so to compare, well, it's great for Draper. Guess what? We would instantly become a prison town. The growth would go down. The property values would go down. But those are side points. Our real arguments are infrastructure and the taxation on the two roads that are in and out. Yesterday there was an accident that closed Quarry Ride Memorial Highway, which is one of the SR-73 that goes through. That it happened yesterday. That would completely close off access to the prison, and they think that's okay. I mean, that is a real concern. We're not just making things up here.
Let me read a few comments that we're getting. Royal writes, one word, money. That's the reason for the move. The rich and powerful stand to make more money on the backs of the taxpayers by moving the prison. Now, we did put that question deal with that question when we did a program earlier for people who are supporting the idea. And they say that, well, you wouldn't make that argument if you wanted to rebuild the airport or you wanted to make a big mall or something. Yes, someone's going to make money. Of course someone's going to make money, but big deal. That's kind of how it works. We live in a capitalist society. Do you have a response for that?
Well, at what expense? I mean, someone's going to make money, but taxpayers are going to pay for it. The new community who inherits the prison is going to pay for it indefinitely. It comes down to choosing winners and losers, and it's just not fair, and it's not the role of the government to do that.
I really love the fact that they're pointing that to move the prison is going to be an economic development factor. It's going to create 18,000 jobs, and it's going to have $820 million in wages and income and about $1.9 billion in annual economic output. Whereas the airport, we're rebuilding the international airport, Salt Lake City Airport, where it currently lies, and the airport already has 35,290 full-time jobs, $1.1 billion in wages and income, and $3.3 billion in total annual economic output. They talk about moving the prison that's going to create this big economic development area in the Silicon Slopes. What kind of impact is that going to have on the rest of the city surrounding that? What businesses are going to leave those areas to move to this area? How is that going to affect their economic impact as well? So that study hasn't been done. There are so many different key factors to this that we've got to look at. To me, that it makes sense. Take a book out of Salt Lake City, $1.8 billion redevelopment for the airport, and we're looking at a $380 million if they rebuild it currently where it lies.
Here's a question from Shelley and Orem. Are there any potential benefits to a community of having a prison? It's understandable you may not want a prison in your community, but could there be some reason a community might want it?
You know, I think that we've seen that with Gunnison and how they welcomed it in their community because they probably felt like there weren't a lot of other options for them economically. And I think that is the fallacy for our communities is that we do feel that we've got so much potential and we want, like Erica said earlier, we want to be able to determine that. You know, we are on corridors where we can certainly attract businesses, tax-paying businesses. In Tooele County, we've got 11% taxable land, which means that whatever we put on the site, you know, we've got to be really choosy because we only have so much taxable land that we can allocate for a business. So if a prison takes that up and a prison that does not pay towards our roads, our school system, things like that, we are going to end up the losers in this proposition.
This comes from Sally, who writes from Salt Lake City. And this is a pretty serious allegation, but I'll just put it out there. She says, this has been around since John Huntsman was governor, as Matt Cannon pointed out earlier. She writes, the legislature stopped allocating funds for upkeep of the prison because of the feasibility study at the time and said that prison could last for decades. What's she getting at there? Do you understand the point that she's making there?
She's making a point that I haven't actually seen facts to follow this up.
This is a pretty serious point.
That it has not been properly maintained
because
in an effort to make it run down so that now they say we have to move it. And who made the mandate that it has to move? Themselves. They made the mandate themselves. And we all know that the legislature, if they make a law, they can unmake a law. They can make a new law to change the law.
Are you making this charge, any of you? That the legislature specifically decided to stop allocating funds for proper upkeep so it would look more run down in the process so we could get
Doug,
it
I don't
to
want
move.
To make allegations, but proof is in the pudding. You look at the state fairgrounds before they started putting money into it. Those buildings really were dilapidated. So, you know, I think that might be a good example of what has happened.
You know, I'm not sure about the conspiracy theory behind this, but as far as as far as the condition of the state prison, that really jumped out at me with their question and answers. They kept saying how run down it was and for the last decade. And it just occurred to me, you know, while I was listening to them, I'm like, now, you guys are responsible for this prison. Why did you let it get so bad? So that is a good question.
And Doug, here's another question that we need to really point out. In the height of the recession in 2008, were we discussing relocating a prison? We weren't. But now, because we have extra funds, we're talking about moving it. And to me, that's not right. I think that back in 2008, when we didn't have funds, they should have really been analyzing then and there what needed to be done to fix the problem.
Well, we found the right people to do the report to get the answer they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two studies before didn't get the answer they wanted, and then finally they got the answer they wanted, and they're running with it.
You know, Bob Nardi, the guy who's heading this whole up, this whole prison relocation, that the contractor, he has done 80-plus prison relocations. So he's a pro. I mean, they know what they're doing. They get in there. I don't know if he tries to pin people against each other, but at the beginning, that's what it felt like, is that, you know, let's get these cities pinned up against each other, and we'll try and defeat it that way, and then we'll pin them down and get three left, and we'll narrow it down to two and see what happens after that.
Let's take a call. 801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Scott is with us in Salt Lake City. Scott, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, as a commercial builder, and as opponent, as a, you know, I don't want to see it moved. I mean, their biggest argument about it not being possible to build in phases is just ludicrous. It happens all the time with big buildings and stuff, and you know, commercial buildings. It's just crazy. I mean, the money that would be saved by rebuilding it there is just incredible. So it really comes down to people are making money off this, you know. Another corrupt situation that's going on in Utah.
Scott, thanks. Here's a sort of a counterpoint from Jake, who writes from Draper. The land in Draper makes perfect sense for a technological business park. Tech businesses have very large campuses, and there's already a large population living in Draper that works in the tech industry. So sort of the counterpoint here is that, yeah, I know you're upset because of infrastructure and all these kinds of things, but Draper is really critical for us heading into the, you know, the future in terms of innovation, and it's a perfect place, as Jake says, for technological businesses. How do you respond?
My response is, would the economic benefit come to Utah anyway, whether or not the prison moves or stays?
They'd find another spot.
They would find another place,
and that
research hasn't been done. And all that's been done is, if we don't move the prison, these businesses won't come here. And I beg to differ.
They are still
coming.
It's been proven. Look at Adobe. Look at eBay.
Look at Lehi. Look at what's happening in Lehi. And all over. There is plenty of land to build these tech companies. And then it goes back to, what is best for the prisoners themselves? Are we wanting to have a tech corridor instead of helping humans? Is money more important than real life people that we're trying to help in society? And I would say, if we're trying to help real people who obviously need help, if they're in prison, they need help, then we need to put them in a central place, not take them out to the middle of nowhere. We need to keep them close.
Let me take another call. Scott, thanks very much, by the way. This is Ellie, who's joining us from Cottonwood Heights. Ellie, hi.
Hi. My question is, listening to all these very good arguments for not moving the prison, they're going to have a meeting next week. They're going to sit there and smirk while people tell them why not to move the prison. They're going to pretend to listen to the public. That's not going to be enough. They're simply going to disregard it. So what can be done, what can really be done to get this law off the books? Can we get a petition started so that people can vote on this in the fall?
It's a good question. What's the point of the next Tuesday's meeting as far as you're concerned?
There is a group. It's called Keep It in Draper, and they have a referendum waiting right now at the Supreme Court. Any day we should be getting a response, and at that point we're waiting to get the okay if we can do a referendum or not to get this on the ballot. And if for some reason they don't side with the people, the Utah Supreme Court does not side with the people, we still have Governor Herbert. He has the final say, yes or no. And the people, every single person in Utah is a constituent of Governor Herbert, and he's up for re-election next year. So we can flood his inbox, flood his phones, and try to do it that way if for some reason the referendum doesn't go through.
Not even Governor Herbert. It's got to be all elected officials up at the legislature, because ultimately they're going to be the ones voting on it to move it or to decide where to move it.
But do you have enough people? I mean, you're very vocal, but I think the perception is that you're a tiny group of people up against something
the political
much
machine.
Larger.
You know,
yeah.
I agree with that. That's a great point. But, you know, even a bee can sting. And when you go out and you just get, you know, whether it's 5%, 10%, that little bit matters. And the elected officials will listen. And I think that they'll if they want to be reelected, they're going to make the right choice. I mean, there are residents in Drapel that say, let's just keep it here. What's the problem? Let's rebuild it where it's currently at. People get it. And I would love to see the residents, the population of Utah vote on this and actually decide.
I want to get Matt Kahneman back in here in a moment here, so we're going to take a break. But let me just ask you this. So Jewel Allen, it's more complicated than this, but there's water issues that you're concerned about. James, for you, wetlands and other things, obviously. Erica, for you, it's infrastructure and growth, access, transportation, all of those kinds of things. But they're all particular. They're all different. How are you going to be able to stand together as a group? Because there's the possibility that you could be arguing against each other.
You know, I don't think we're exclusive of each other's arguments, because I think the more we stand strong on our opposition, then the less options we really leave for the PRC to just move it on a community. And so I think the stronger our arguments are and the more vocal we are, I really disagree that citizens have no voice in this. We certainly can, and we have changed perceptions of the public.
I've been on a united front just saying that the prison shouldn't be moved. I'm not saying move it to Tooele. I'm not saying move it to Grantsville or to Fairfield. It needs to stay where it currently is at. There's too much of a reaction, a consequence by moving it economic development-wise. I mean, for me in Salt Lake City, that is the key, is that is economic growth for our location that they've proposed.
Something that we can all join in on as citizens is that this is a taxpayer issue. All of us will be paying for this from Logan to St. George. And I would hope that everyone would get informed on what this means.
Okay, stay with us. We have with us, that was Erica Groneman, who represents the community group No Prison in Eagle Mountain or Fairfield. Jewel Allen, co-founder of the community group No Prison in Tooele County. And James Rogers is with us, vice chair of the Salt Lake City Council. He represents District 1, which includes that property for the Prison Relocation Commission. We'll take a quick break. Underline that quick break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we've been talking about why a community wouldn't want a prison nearby, not just the emotional questions, but the practical ones. Matt Kahneman of the Salt Lake Tribune is joining us here again. And I'm still confused by this idea of whether it's illegal for lawmakers to talk about the Draper as an option to keep it there. What is that about?
My understanding of the way the law works is that in deciding where to recommend a new prison to be built, they can't take into consideration what's going to happen in Draper. You can't do offset costs or some sort of deal between a developer here and there. That's the idea.
Because of speculation.
Because they're trying to have a clean process. They want to pick where a prison goes, and then we'll decide what happens with Draper later. They didn't want any sort of muddled business deals. That doesn't mean they can't talk about the justification of why they want to do it. It means they can't say, we're going to trade this for that.
To the question that's sort of hanging out there that was raised earlier, has anyone suggested that lawmakers have consciously stopped funding the state prison complex in Draper so they can make it look dilapidated to relocate it?
People have made that claim, and if you talk to corrections officials, they will tell you that they haven't got the money they need to upkeep it. And the person who leads the prison told me that his correction officers sometimes do their own maintenance work to keep the building going. Essentially, you got to realize we've had some rough economic times recently. I think if you talk to public education or roads, there's a lot of people who say there should have been money spent that wasn't spent. So I think that probably has more to do with it than a calculated effort.
You know, it's interesting listening to the panel here, James and Jewel and Erica, talking about the fact that they're hoping to make this a political issue and you mentioned earlier, Matt, that the commission didn't really take into account the local political dimensions.
Right.
What about the bigger statewide political dimensions here? Could that be a factor in this story?
It definitely can. They're trying to hammer home to other legislators that this is the decision on the technical merits of a site. But when it comes down to it, these are representatives who have to go back home and talk to people in their community and then respond to their mayors and their city councils and their elected, you know, and their constituents. And they're hearing lots of messages. When this comes down to it, this is a political decision that the legislature has to make. As an example, there was a representative from Lehigh last week who just floated out there, hey, I surveyed the legislators and we decided it should go in Salt Lake. Now, why did he do that? Because he doesn't want it in Utah County. And the commission got really upset at him because they said, look, this isn't about politics. It isn't about just surveying the members. But at the end of the day, when they have to vote, it is going to be that.
And they will have to vote. Give us a sense of when that works. They make a decision August 1st, and then there's a special session.
Right. There's a little bit of wiggle room here. They are – their goal is to make a recommendation by August 1st. But the technical reviews may not be done by then. But let's say they were. They make a recommendation by August 1st. The governor has to call the legislature into a special session, and they make a vote. My understanding is they're not going to say we recommend one site and one site only. They're going to rank them. And then why would you rank them? Because if you can't get the political will to pass number one, you move to number two. As I said, this is a political decision. And so they're going to have to make that call. And then the governor, as been pointed out later, can, you know, sign or veto.
Is this a done deal? I mean, that has been the question. But you're hearing now that there are political dimensions they may not have taken right into account. There are even the questions about whether or not it is feasibly better to leave it in Draper. Is it a done deal?
Politics is a lot about momentum. And I've talked to legislators, and there's a few that are against this. And I've asked them recently, have you got any more support? Have you been able to turn anyone since the legislature to your side? And the answer hasn't been yes. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's hard to predict. But if you had to guess today, the momentum is still on the side that this prison moves.
Matt Canham is with us, reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Our thanks also to James Rogers, Jewel Allen, Erica Groneman. Radio West is a production of KUER News. By the way, you can go to our website and you can find the particulars about that public hearing next Tuesday. That's the 16th of June. We'll give you the details on our website. Radio West, again, a production of KUER News, the program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. And I'm Doug Fabrizio. Sorry.